Let me try to preach a little something up in here. I'm going to I have on the program, this is called A Man, Brother, You Are Loose. I thought I was going to take a take off of what T.D. Jakes did. He loosed the women. I thought I'd loose the men. But I don't know, this sermon has a tendency to take on a life of its own, so I don't know, brothers, you may be still tied up by the time I... But if I can get you loose, I'm going to do the best I can. But what we want to do today, we want to focus on the fifth chapter of the book of Mark. We dealt with this same story in the Gospel of Luke at 8 o'clock when we were talking about liberation by way of identification at 8 o'clock. And we're just talking about a crazy man at 11 o'clock. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, and I begin reading at verse number 1. Gospel of Mark, beginning with the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1. Mark has written these words. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, and to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Then I'm going to jump down to verse 18. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him, that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Amen. The good news of the gospel is that for those who are shackled, Jesus is a savior. If there is a devil in your life, there is a God willing to stand by your side. The problem you can't solve, it's a situation God can handle. What you can't do, God has already done. What's beyond your strength is no match for God's power. Our God will pay the fine for the guilty and post bail for the jail. He'll release the captive and give the offender another chance. In spite of your record, He'll give you a job. Even while on probation, he'll find work for you in the company. If you are shackled, our God is a Savior. You don't have to be held back and you don't have to be held down. You don't have to be burdened down with guilt and you don't have to be bound by sin. You don't have to be chained to your past and you don't have to be imprisoned by your failure. But our God can set you free. And our God can liberate your soul. Not only can he change your name, he can change your life. Not only can he pick you up, he can give you power to stand your ground. Not only can he fight your battles, he can give you strength to overcome the gates of hell. My God can set you free and change your life. That's what I see in the word, and that's what I see in the text. I see a liberated man who once was bound. I see a former lunatic who is now clothed in his right mind. I see somebody who was full of the devil who is now ready to walk with the Lord. I see a brother who was raised in hell who now is on his way to heaven. I see a liberated man who once was bound. At the start of the text, he was tangled in sin, but at the end of the story, he is loose from the devil. When we first see him, he's acting crazy, but when we last see him, he's got some sense. At the start, he's running with the devil, but at the end, he wants to walk with the Lord. This brother who once was bound now is free. What he has become is not what he was. How he behaves at the end of the text is not how he was acting at the start. This is a liberated brother who the Lord set free. That's the good news of the gospel. The God I serve can set you free. You can be a crackhead or a crackpot. You can be a PhD who is psychotic, or you can be a GED with a habit. You can be a whoremonger on the street, or you can be a hypocrite in the closet. The God I serve can set you free. He can loose the bonds and break the chains. He can remove the shackles and release the bands. He can drop the charges and he can post the bail. The God I serve can set you free. Stop by to tell somebody and to tell some brother you are free. Come this way and I come this day to let you know you are redeemed and you are liberated. You don't have to live like you've been living and you don't have to go back to what you've been doing. You don't have to act like a dog and you don't have to try and be a player. You don't have to be cold to your children. You don't have to be cruel to your woman. You don't have to be a lump on the log in the church and you don't have to be afraid of Holy Ghost power. The devil can't stop you and hell can't hinder you. No weapon can prosper that's against you, and no trap set by your enemy can hold you. The Lord told me to tell you, you are redeemed and you are liberated. What we have in the text is a man who is possessed of the devil. And because he has demonic forces, he has mental problems. Because demons are in his soul, there's no stability in his life. Because he's dealing with the issues of demons, he can't deal with the realities of life. He's raising hell because he's full of hell. He acts like a fool because he's full of crazy demons. In the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, we have a man who is possessed of demons. We have a woman who is burdened down with disease, and we have a girl who is dead. Each one has a bad situation, and each one has a serious problem. Each one has something they can't fix, and each one has a problem they can't solve. Now, each one has a different problem, but each one is blessed by the same problem solver. Now, in our thinking, the man who is possessed needs to be in a mental hospital. The woman who is sick should be placed in a convalescent home, and the dead girl should be buried. But if you look in the book, all three got the same blessing. All three got from the same source what was needed for their individual situation. For the man who has demons, Jesus is a psychiatrist. For the woman who has a disease, Jesus is a gynecologist. And for the girl who is dead, Jesus is a pediatrician. I tell you, Jesus can be everything to everybody. You don't have to tell me what you lack. I guarantee it's Jesus that you need. You don't have to tell me what you're going through. I know Jesus can take you through. I know the answer before you tell me the problem. I know what can make it right before you tell me what is wrong. I know where you can get the help before you reveal the problem. Jesus can help anybody. Wish I had a church. Jesus can help anybody with anything. Ah, there's no problem he can't solve. There's no situation he can't handle. In the text, Jesus meets a man who is possessed of a devil. Look at it. The Lord of grace meets a brother who lives in the graveyard. The one who created life meets someone who hangs out with the dead. The one who came that we might live encounters a brother who lives with the dead. Now all three synoptic gospels talk about this brother who is possessed of the devil. All three talk about this lunatic who was running wild. Luke says the brother was into streaking because he ran through the tombs without any garments. Matthew says he foamed at the mouth, and Mark says he cut himself with stones. Had no clothes on his body, he was foaming at the mouth, and he mutilated his own flesh. This is a crazy brother, and this is a wild man. When you running around half naked, you crazy. When you do stuff to hurt yourself, you crazy. When you buying drugs off the street and paying money for sex, you crazy. When you shoot needles in your veins and shoot down your brother on the street, you crazy. When you rather own a gun than purchase a computer, when you spend more time working on your due than getting something in your head, you crazy. Jesus meets a crazy man full of the devil. This was a crazy brother running wild. This man was doing harm to himself, and this man was a threat to the community. He had no job, and he had no joy. Because he had no peace, he was a disturber of the peace. Because he lived with the dead, he had no respect for the living. The brother was raging hell, was raised in hell, because he was full of hell. Because he had no peace, he troubled everybody. Because he was bound by Satan, he couldn't be helped by man. Because he was held captive to the demonic, he lost contact with the divine. The man was crazy and the man was wild. And I want you to know that what this man was in the text is what some men are in the world. The way this brother was acting back then is the way some men are acting right now. What he was before Jesus showed up is what some are who have no Christ. Because the devils have made him insane, the man chooses to be isolated. Rather than the company of the living, he prefers fellowship with the dead. Rather than spend time with family and friends, he seeks fellowship with corpses and cadavers. Rather than struggle with those who are living, he hangs with the dead for whom life is over. I tell you, when you're full of hell, you don't want to be around those who have been touched by heaven. When you're doing what you have no business, you don't want to be around those who will tell you right from wrong. When you're running with the devil, you don't have time for those walking with the Lord. When you give up on life, you don't want to be bothered with those who believe that life is worth living. When you're on your way to hell, you don't want to be around somebody talking about heaven. You don't want to hear that you're wrong when you're living in sin. You don't want to be called to task when you're doing what you have no business. You don't want somebody to point out your sin when you have no shame. When the devil gets in your heart, he knows how to isolate you from your friends. He'll take you from prayer meeting and have you at a private pity party. He'll remove you from those who love you and surround you with folks who don't care about you. He'll make you lose your shame and then cause you to lose your home. The devil knows how to isolate you. He'll have you living where you don't belong. You'll be craving for what you don't need. You'll be lusting for what you can't handle. The brother was living in the tomb. Now hear me. He didn't work in the cemetery. He lived in the graveyard. He wasn't a caretaker. He was a living resident. He wasn't supposed to be there. He chose to be there. Whole lot of brothers are in a place where they chose to be, but not where they supposed to be. It's unnatural and it's unhealthy. It's not fit and it's not proper. It's not what God willed and it's not what they really wanted. This brother was living in the cemetery. No one with some sense lives in the cemetery. I mean, I've been there a whole lot of times, but it's always a round trip. I mean, even dead folks don't live there. That's where they lay, but that's not where they live. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Even those who have died in Christ don't stay in the cemetery. Something wrong when the living want to hang out with the dead. But I tell you, there's somebody up in here hanging out with the dead. Now you visit the church, but you live with the dead. You attend the house of prayer, but you reside in Forest Lawn. Some of you have already moved to the graveyard. No undertaker embalmed your body. No hearse carried your remains. No grave digger dug your grave, and yet you have already moved to the cemetery. There's no death certificate. There's no coroner report. Family can't collect insurance. Will can't be read, but you're already living in the cemetery. You are living corpse and a walking cadaver. You are breathing zombie and a moving skeleton. You already living in the cemetery. Hear me, body in the church, but your mind in the tombs. Heart beating in your chest, but you're dead to the spirit. Air going through your lungs, but there's no joy in your life. You living in the cemetery. Church is where you park your body on Sunday while your mind goes on about its business. This is where you come to be seen, but your mind is going to where you really want to be. Some of you have already moved to the cemetery. Somebody says you are here, but your hope is dead. Your faith is gone and your dream has died. You have no reason for living and you have no focus for going. You have no ideals for tomorrow and you have no plans for the future. You're not seeking and you're not striving. You're not hoping and you're not believing. You have already moved to the cemetery. This brother lived in the cemetery. Now look at it. The brother lived by himself, and the brother was a danger to himself. Not only was he a threat to others, he was a threat to self. He didn't have to worry about being mugged. At the rate he was going, he was destined to kill himself. He was crying in the mountains and cutting himself in the tomb. He was howling in the night and doing damage to his flesh. Now look at it. They could not bind him with chains, and yet he could not free himself of the devil. He was so strong that men couldn't defeat him, but he was too weak to overcome the mess that was in him. I tell you, some brothers can handle what's around them, but they can't handle what's within. They can defeat an opponent who attacks, but they have a habit they can't break. They couldn't bind the man, and the man couldn't break the bondage of the devil. Now look at it. Look at it. They could not chain the man, but what Jesus did was change the man. Oh, I wish I had a church. They could not chain the man, but what Jesus did was change the man. They tried to control him. Jesus chose to redeem him. They wanted to restrain him. Jesus decided to release him. They wanted to build a better prison. Jesus wanted to make a better man. They wanted to put him where he would be no threat. Jesus wanted to fix him so he could be a help. They wanted to chain him, but Jesus wanted to change him. I tell you, we don't need men chained. We need men changed. We don't need men who are restricted. We need men who are redeemed. I tell you, the God I serve didn't chain me. The God I serve knows how to change me. He didn't put me in the hang. He didn't put me in handcuffs. He gave me a reason to lift up holy hands. I don't know how you feel about it, but I thank God that when I was chained by sin, I was changed by grace. Help me, Holy Ghost. Now I know that all of us looking holy right now and acting sophisticated at the moment and all sanctified. I know he's saying praise the Lord and crying out hallelujah. I know we got it together, but we were chained before we were changed. We were raised in hell before we heard about heaven. We were doing what we had no business before we started doing what we should. We were chained before we were changed. The man in the text was possessed by the demons. His life was a mess because his soul was possessed. He acted like a fool because he was full of the devil. His crazy ways were the result of wicked devils. The man was demon possessed. And don't you fool yourself. We got some brothers up in here who are possessed. We got some men who are full of the devil. They don't have any joy because they are bound by the demon. They can't give God any praise because they held down by wicked forces. They don't do like they should because they have a force they can't control. Some of our brothers are demon possessed. They do harm to others and inflict pain on self because they are possessed. They have no respect for women, take no pride in themselves because they possess. They'll rip off what belongs to you, and yet they won't take care of what belongs to them because they are possessed. They'll give up their name to walk the streets. They'll leave their God to run with the devil. They'll forsake their family to hang out in sin because they are possessed. The man in the text was possessed. But the good news of the text is that the one who was possessed of the devil, the good news of the text is that the one who was possessed of the devil met somebody who possessed all power. The man who had something he couldn't handle met somebody who had something the devil couldn't stop. Now, I don't know if he was looking for Jesus, but the good news is he met the Lord. I don't know if he woke up that morning with his mind stayed on Jesus, but after he met the Lord, he was clothed in his right mind. I tell you, it's a good thing when you meet Jesus. I don't care if it was by appointment or if it was by accident. I don't care if you were searching for him or if you just bumped into him. I don't care if you found him or if he found you. But it's always a good thing when you meet up with the Lord. In the text, the man who is possessed of demons meets a Jesus who possesses all power. Dust meets divinity. Finite bumps into the infinite. Citizen of time meets the Lord of eternity. The man who is full of the devil meets the Lord who is full of grace. He falls down to give worship and he cries out in his pain. See, I believe it's the man who fell down, but it's the devil who cried out. It's the man who wants to worship, but it's the devil who wants to cuss. The brother wants to be delivered, but it's the devil who wants to escape. The man runs to Jesus, but the devils want to flee from the Lord. The man is trying to worship, but the devil is trying to run. I tell you, some brothers can't worship like they ought to because some devil won't let them. They do all they can to get the church, but the devil won't let them have church. While they're trying to get to the Savior, the devil is trying to get from the Lord. They come to worship, but the devil won't let them have church. Before they can give God the praise, the devil starts raising hell. Before they can make a commitment, the devil makes them yearn for a habit. Before they can do the right, the devil gets them caught up in the wrong. Jesus meets the man, and Jesus interrogates the brother. Jesus says to the man, "What is your name?" Jesus says, "I know what you're doing, but I want to know who you are." Jesus says, "What is your name?" Well, in the text, the devil says, "My name is Legion because we are many. My name is Legion because there's more than one of us up in here. My name is Legion because I'm not in here by myself. My name is Legion because there's a whole lot of us living on the premises. We got crack and weed, drugs and liquor. We got low down ways and low self-esteem. We got anger at others and hatred for self. We got abuse as a child and lust as a man. We got the scars of racism and the wounds of prejudice. My name is Legion because we are many. I want to quit, but there's too many in me. I want to stop, but there's something in me. I want to do better, but there's too much mess in me. Help me, Holy Ghost. My name is Legion. But look at the word and look at the text. The man was possessed and the man was delivered. The demons lead the man, and then the devils inhabit the halls. They lead the brother and take up residence in some pigs. The man wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus says, no, I need a witness. I need me a spokesman. These folks don't want me here, but I need evidence that I've been here. These folks don't want my help, but I need proof that help is available. These people don't want to hear my truth, so I need somebody to give a testimony. I want you to stay here and tell everybody what great things the Lord has done. I want you to tell how you were shackled and I set you free. I want you to tell about the hell in your life and the agony in your soul till I stop by. Tell them how you were running naked in the streets and sleeping in the tombs till I stop by. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't dress it up. Tell it like it is. They won't know how great I am till you tell them how bad you were. Tell your family what the Lord has done. Tell your friends what the Lord has done. Tell your neighbor what the Lord has done. Tell your homeboys what the Lord has done. Tell that gang you used to drink with and shoot up with. Tell them what the Lord has done. Tell them you've been washed in the blood. Tell them you've been sanctified. Tell them you've been delivered. Tell them you've been redeemed. Tell somebody what the Lord has done. Jesus left a witness. Jesus left a representative. He left somebody who could tell the story, and he left somebody who could give a word. He left somebody who had a testimony, and he left somebody who had a blessing. He left a man who had been delivered, and he left a brother who had been redeemed. And he told him, just tell somebody what the Lord has done. I tell you, that's all we supposed to be doing. We supposed to tell somebody what the Lord has done. Not just what he said, not just what we heard, but tell somebody what the Lord has done. See, with your blessing comes responsibility. If you accept a blessing, you got to accept an assignment. If the Lord does something for you, you got to be willing to do something for the Lord. My Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you receive a blessing, you ought to tell somebody. If God brought joy and happiness, you ought to tell somebody. If God lifted up your bowed down head, tell somebody. If he put bread on your table when there was no food in the house, tell somebody. If he opened a door when you couldn't see your way, tell somebody what the Lord has done. If you've been redeemed by grace, you ought to tell it. If you've been touched and blessed, you ought to tell it. If you've been picked up, you ought to tell it. If he healed your body, you ought to tell it. If he changed your name, you ought to tell it. If he woke you up, you ought to tell it. If you've been washed in the blood, you ought to tell it. Tell somebody what the Lord has done. If the Lord's been good to you, brother, you ought to show some sign. If the Lord bless your soul, brother, you ought to bless his name. Tell somebody what the Lord has done. Tell somebody how good the Lord is and how good the Lord's been. Tell somebody how he picked you up. Tell somebody
tonight, tell somebody how he made you whole. You ought to tell somebody what the Lord, what the Lord, what the Lord, what the Lord has done.
Amen. Hear me. Just bear with me. I'm talking to men. That's why I picked out a man who the Lord set free. I originally wanted to preach, brother, you are loose. Woman, thou art loose did good for T.D. Jakes. I thought it would skyrocket me. But I guess because my heart wasn't right with it, the Lord didn't give me brother, you are loose. But I still want to say to the brothers, and I need you women to just bear with me. Jesus tells the man wanted to go with him. Do you know how hard it is to get men to follow a preacher? Huh? It ain't easy to get men to follow a preacher. Usually if men are following a preacher, the preacher don't want him to catch him. This man wanted to follow Jesus. But Jesus says, no, I want you to stay. Now I'm going to do a little exegeting. I know how to exegete, but I'm going to do a little exegeting to make my point. I believe that when the man remembered his wild past and saw the reception that the people gave Jesus, and also seeing those demons get into the swine and the swine run down into the lake. And I told him at 8 o'clock that the demons were not drowned in the lake. Huh? When the demons saw the pigs run into the lake, they got out. And I don't know, maybe some of those demons were flying around and saying to the brother, as soon as that carpenter get on that ship and get to the other side, you thought we were messing with you before, but just wait till Jesus get out of town. And I think the man wanted to go with Jesus because he didn't have a friend in the community and he was scared of being attacked again by the devils. But I think when the Lord told him, I want you to stay, I think the Lord was saying, it's all right to stay. Don't you worry about them devils. They ain't gonna mess with you anymore. If they come back, you just call my name. If they come back, you just say my name. If they start acting up, you just tell them, you better stop messing with me because I'm going to tell Jesus. In other words, I believe that the Lord was saying to the brother, you are loose. You don't have to worry. You are loose. You don't have to be afraid. You are loose. You don't have to be troubled. You are loose. You don't have to worry about the future. You are loose. You've been delivered. You've been redeemed. You've been set free. No more chains holding you. Can't no devil hold you down. Can't no power hold you back. You are loose. You can go back home. You are loose. You can go get a job. You are loose. You can praise my name. You are loose. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. You don't have to be afraid. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. You have been redeemed. You have been delivered. You are loose. And I want you to go back home. I want you to go back to your wife. I know she got a restraining order. But I want you to go back to your wife. I know you haven't seen the children in years, but I want you to go back home. I know the homeboys don't want to be bothered with you, but I want you to go back home. And I want you to tell them what the Lord has done. I want you to walk up in there and say, honey, I'm a new man. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I want you to know I've been washed in the blood. I want you to know I've been filled
the Spirit. Now the last time you saw me, I was dancing in the club. Well, honey, I want you to know I'm still dancing, but I got a new partner. I'm still dancing, but I'm dancing for the glory of the Lord. I'm giving God the glory. I'm giving God the praise. He set me free. He picked me up. And I want you to know I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I don't lose my masculinity. I don't lose my being macho. I can give him some glory. I can give him some worship. I can give him some thanks. I can give him some honor. I can give him some praise. He's been good. He's been kind. I love the Lord. I praise his name. He walks with me. He's my joy. He's my strength. He's my friend. He's my hope. He's my bridge. He's my rock. He's